This is a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM, so please stay tuned.
California, California, luôn gấu là rong gấu, luôn đấu là rong đầu. Chỉ tiêu là mùa trốn, tôi chẳng dễ là mùa đầu. Địa sĩ mùa lại mùa phong, tu sẽ tu nhiều trong cơn gấu. California, California, no chữ là xiên giờ.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. This is welcome to the Multicultural 1600 AM Hours. This is the Hmong American Hour. My name is Vahir. I am your host today for Financial Friday. And today I have a very special guest. All right, and his name is David Fang. And I'm going to let him introduce himself a little bit before we get going. Go ahead, David.
Well, good afternoon. Again, thanks, Vahir. My name is David Fang. I actually came from Liberty Tax Service, and I'm a tax guy, and that's what I do.
All right, David. So David is very humble, but I mean, he's one of my mentor, and I've learned a lot from him about taxes, about investment, and about real estate. And so today is Financial Friday, and it's all about financial. It's all about money. It's all about how to make money, how to save money, how money is spent, where money comes from. So today it's going to be all about money. So if you guys are watching out there, we're live on Facebook too. And so if you guys have questions for David tonight, today, you could ask on Facebook right now. You could actually type in there. So I see that there's like a couple of people there. And you could also tune in on 1600ammulticultural.com. So it's multicultural1600am.com. All right. And you can find it on Facebook at Multicultural 1600 AM too. So we are live on Multicultural 1600 AM, and we are also live on Facebook, just for you guys. And it's a special treat because this, I figured this is my second show. So last week, I did a pre-recording last week for Financial Friday, and I just did a little introduction about, you know, my financial history and how I came to my understanding of finances. And I always say this to people, like, you cannot enforce your financial philosophy on other people. You can only inform them for them to make an informed decision. And, you know, last week I touched base on people being in survivor mode and people being comfortable in this different level of financial financial knowledge or financial literacy or financial maturity. People mature in finances at different level. And just to touch base a little bit about why am I touching base and why is it important today? All right. It's important today because we're going to talk about taxes, and I'm going to be focusing on real estate too, for real estate taxes, for a lot of you out there who's waiting for this. Okay. And the reason why it's important to go back to recap on different people, at different level of financial maturity is that, you know, I mentioned earlier last week that, you know, when I was still coming up, I mean, like I said, I was making, you know, $17 an hour, $18 an hour, and I was in survival mode. So investment or investing in something or even buying a house wasn't even a priority for me. You know, my priority was to go to work, take care of my family, have food on the table, and be able to make the rent. And then if I have extra money, I'm going to finance a car, right? And so that's what I really focus on in my first show, is the different level of financial maturity. But now You know, I'm not rich. I'm not rich. I'm a middle working class guy, and I like to think rich. So I'm not rich, but I think rich. You know. So, but yeah, David, do you have anything to add about what I recap on last week?
Well, you know, taxes is one of those things that we have to kind of have knowledge and understanding what it is. Because if you don't, then basically, you know, we pay taxes that, you know, things that we're not supposed to be paying. So I think this is one of the things that I guess why that's why you called me today to join you on this show to talk about, to share a little bit about taxes and so how we could help other people out there in the community so that they at least have the basic knowledge how to kind of, you know, basic knowledge and how to help themselves. So I think that, you know, people always tell me all the time that in life, there's two things that we cannot get away from, and the first one is taxes, and of course, you know, we, you know, the second is death. We all die anyway. But the things that, you know, right now that we still live, we gotta make sure that we understand taxes, because I know a lot of you folks out there, you know, you probably pay taxes, and maybe you're not supposed to be paying, and that's one of the things that we want to talk about today. And like I said, I hope that whatever we share today, you will have some. Get some knowledge and help yourself.
Okay, so to Lee from Fresno said, David, how has the tax law changed throughout the years while you're doing them? And is it better now in your opinion, or is it tougher now before for the middle class?
Well, you know, tax laws have been... I've been doing tax for 20 years, and this is my 20th tax season. In fact, and I experienced throughout the 20 years, you know, in the past, you know, you have other, basically have other deduction, and this year you have other deduction as well, but it's different. And so we can't really say that the past is better and the future is better. We don't know for sure, you know, what is better. But what's important is that, you know, because... some of the tax law, you know, sometimes it applies to the middle family, some applies to the wealthy family, and so it depends on your circumstances, because that's how you get benefit all of it on the tax things. It all depends on your income level, where you at. You know, if you you don't make a lot of money, and of course, whenever you file your taxes, then of course you're going to benefit from some other credit that you're getting, right? But then if you're a middle income family, and then basically you don't make enough, but you don't make, you know. You know, you don't make a lot either, and then you end up paying taxes. So every case kind of look different in tax law and how the application side of it. Okay. So that's one of the things that I always recommend, you know, my clients that, you know, whenever they want to do something, make sure they come to see me, because I'll be able to analyze their tax situation and be able to provide them some good recommendation what they need to be do and to help them out.
Oh, hey, I'm sorry. I'm gonna do this in Mongolish too. So
sure.
Yeah, you have to go high level Mongol. High talk because
the basic
stuff. Because I know there's some viewers and listeners out there that they're gonna have the most. So I want today to be a little bit about the basic stuff, and they wanna jump right into some real estate stuff. Okay. So can you explain like the different type of filing taxes in terms of like someone who's an employee, someone who's an independent contractor or is self-employed? Can you explain that a little?
Well, you know, in a first starter, okay, got to understand that what is your filing status, right? Not your taxes, you know, 你没有持卡 status 呢，你没有 single. They need more actually verify joint, they verify separately, they actually verify head household, they more qualify widow. Yeah. So one of the first things I got to ask yourself that, okay, what is your filing status? And chance of it, you probably not quite sure. You're single, you know for sure you can file single. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, this might sometime, you know, you make sure that you have to hit. So call you understand call on day, nah? So now, go understand how the day, and the Taurusha, you know, Taka Wahalu, you know, if you're working, and go actually, go getting income, W2, then yeah. So basically, go call the Gajo, complete W4, Makasato W2, is your employee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Then you know, they call you also, it depends on how many allowance they got at W4, and then, just call you effect, like how we holding, from wages. they conduct the tradition, got what tax and in the faculty, and the, of course it depends, you know, got your dependent, got claim to you. Okay. Normal high touch, you eat a regular employees, you know, okay, you're working for somebody. Okay. That's my yeah, they got look for the other side, not they be talk about, you know, job is self employment. If you're self employed, then everything changes. It all depends on how much money you made, and most importantly, depend on how much expenses you have, right? They got to keep good record, you got your expenses in the direct relationship, got business, huh? Then what happened, got to pay, you got to call, doesn't matter where you go, whoever your tax professional is, got to get information, then we can't do anything for you. Then they got more expenses, you got more income, of course, you're going to and pay a lot of taxes because you have no expenses and we can't do anything to help you. So, they got all, we make sure you keep all your record. Make sure that you keep record how much money you make, and then at the same time how much expense got expense business. That you need to remember. No more indirect here, direct now. Make sure it's directly related to your business to be deductible.
So, so if someone doesn't know, you have to let you about it, like your file her status, do you have a way to help them determine that?
Well, yeah, you know, I think the quality each upload you got unsure, got you about it, and they got your file, like I didn't know that Google recommend they got to seek the tax professional guidance. So how that you pay like you know little bit tax like pay like you tao like do tao tia. There's a lot of good people out there, the tech professional could help you and talk to them and then, you know, kind of make sure you schedule a time and meet with them maybe a half hour or something and kind of share your tech situation with them. Mm-hmm. And you can share your learner, you know, they will be able to guide you and give you some direction how to proceed and how to do it. Because you got children done it by the time you got ready to do something, you got malicious files, it's too late. Yeah. So remember, we go back to 2019. We go to the future only, okay? Yeah. We cannot post anything, any document back in 2019.
Wow.
So
we got a question, Tuli. I know you only get one question, right, Tu? But I'll go back to your question, Tuli. But I'm gonna look at Tu Feng's question. Tu Feng had that. What do you recommend for self-employed to help us keep our records? And what are some of the tools your client has used?
Well, you know, it depends on check up your technology, technological savvy person. Most people go down job for the past 20 years. Many people, they don't know computer much and they're not technological inclined. They go to recommend that they, you know, make sure that you've got, you know, sometimes you could write in some kind of bookkeeping notebook that keep track of all your income and all your expenses. Just at the same time, you know, make sure key, you know, all you receive as a backup. Okay, you know, maybe a little technological incline, maybe you got about Excel, yeah. Excel is a good tool that you could use to keep track on your thing. There's a lot of spreadsheet that you could different tab. You could, you know, do one tab for income, one tab for expenses. And you know, Excel is so awesome because, you know, you'd be able to do graph and all kind of stuff, okay? You got really good Excel, yeah. So to do that, get some kind of software out there. There's always software out there to keep track on got our expense. Now, you know, one of the things that we've been using, I use for my office too, I share with our customer. Yeah. Some people actually use QuickBooks, you know, to keep track on the income and expenses. So QuickBooks, it's kind of sophisticated. You have to kind of know how to use it properly and make sure that you go to some seminar, some workshop to be trained. So got to know how to use it. So got to know, and you just try to use yourself. It's okay too. You're missing a lot of the function in the software. So those are the things that we would recommend. Technological inclined, just make sure, you know, go to the store, buy a bookkeeping journal or something, keep track of everything that you actually income receive and expense actually spend out there.
It sounds like it doesn't matter if you use a paper or you use a computer, you just have to be consistent.
It has been quite some time. 2019 and 2020 particularly just employment now. Just to employ people, Uncle Sam has been very strict on that. You got your own good record, you cannot use those anymore. You know, got your own good record, back a document, you have to go Excel, you can expand your e-portal. You can have received $400. You can't just say, well, I got $100, okay? You know, you cannot do that anymore. You got to have a back a document. Back a document, actually, you get audited. One of the first things the auditor can ask is, what's your receipt to back up on your spreadsheet?
Yeah.
Well, you don't have nothing, right? Okay, yeah. So what's that mean?
Yeah.
It means the auditor can disallow everything that you expense out. Then what's going to happen at the end of the day? Well, you pay more taxes now.
Yeah.
You see?
So, Tu Feng, I'm going to share with you what I use. I use this app called Stride, and I also use Spreadsheet and Google Sheet. Google Sheet has templates. So, like, if your volume is not, to me, this is just my opinion. If you're self-employed and your volume is not that high, and you could, if it's manageable, okay, even if your volumes are high, if it's manageable and you could do it, I use a simple spreadsheet, because what I could do is I could pivot the spreadsheet and create reports from it. So that way, like if a client wants their report, I could pivot that client's report. Or if I want a specific report on demographic, or if I need to disaggregate some of my data and my accounting, then I could do a pivot and then pivot into a Word document as a report. So there's a lot of ways to be creative with the available tools out there. And if you don't have Microsoft Office, you could just use Google Doc, Google Words. All those are free to use. But if you could afford Microsoft Office and QuickBooks, I know that QuickBooks will connect to like your bank account. You could download the database from your bank account, and QuickBooks will run those reports for you. So, yeah, that's just to touch up on that. And yeah. So, yeah, I just want to, when we go on the radio break, we'll still be on live. And you guys still ask questions. I encourage you guys to continue to ask questions. We're getting ready to go on a break. But before we go on our break, let me, during our break, I will be playing a song from a good friend of mine and a fellow brother at arms, Brandon Mars. He's former Army, and he's currently a correctional officer with the Fresno County Correctional, and he's gonna be releasing his album. And you know, I had the opportunity for him to share his song ahead. So you guys are going to hear something that hasn't been released yet. And I think that this young individual is very talented. Not only that, he served his country, and he continued to serve his country and his community by being a law enforcement officer. And he's giving back by using his talent and his music to create a platform out there to motivate people. So shout out to Brandon Mars out there. So if you guys know who he is, tag him on this, share this with him later, because we're doing a huge shout out for him, and I want him to be very successful out there. Again, today I have David Fang with me. He's a Liberty Tax franchise owner. He's also an enrollment agent. He's very knowledgeable. When we come back from our break, we're gonna start talking. I'm gonna kind of grill him a little bit on some specific stuff. So stay tuned with us. And on our break, you guys could, we'll be talking on Facebook Live on our break, so you guys could continue to watch that with us too.
Jong-li-ki-la-ju-ju
Welcome back to Multicultural 1600 AM. You can listen to us on multicultural1600am.com. Find us on Facebook at Multicultural 1600 AM. And we're going to open up the lines to call in. So you could call in and disrupt us at any time during the show. Okay, so the phone number here is 559-499-1600. Again, 559-499-1600. And if you have any question about taxes, you could jump in. So we're going to start right off with talking about real estate taxes, right? And we already have two questions that we're going to discuss about. Okay, so earlier we talked about let me go back here. Okay, so As real estate investor mainly buy and hold, what are various deductions that we can take? Okay, so if you're buying and holding, what are some of the deductions that you can talk about, David?
Well, if you buy and hold, I would assume that maybe you're probably gonna fix the house too. because you got to fix it so that you could rent it out. So if that's the case, then make sure that when you buy, you know, make sure that you know you keep all your paper that you got from escrow title company. All those are good stuff. So it's particularly the closing statement. You pay who the hard one. Yeah. They actually list all the costs that you actually pay, okay? So each of cost of money nichi deductible tolusha got what tax now this it's good because tolusha costs one thing you actually some of those can be added to your basis of your home, so basically your base gonna go up, so actually help you in the future. So ho actually just on the see call actually whatever you do repair on the property before you actually turn into rental, yeah. Because you know, one understands that you're gonna hold it as a long-term rental. The other day, they job repair, got a mortgage, or those can be deductible. So called they got a rental. It's become a business now. So called got turned into a rental. The other day, you know, just like a business, you know, whatever got, you know, expand you incur to actually the mortgage got property, then that can be deducted on your tax return on Schedule E. Okay. Go back to what's important, keep everything.
Yeah.
Pretty much all the receipts and everything you do. Now, one other thing I wanted to mention to rental probably not because some people may have to change the roof. Maybe they have to put a new AC, HVAC system on it. So just remember it's a different date. And then it got turned into a rental, a different date. It depends on when you actually replace the AC, HVAC system. Yeah. Because those are different items that got you have to depreciate it out over time. Okay, so each item need more life, life the actually look item. So depending what kind of item that you actually incorporate into the property.
So if I bought my house in 2015 and then 2008 and then 2000 and then I rented out and then the AC broke, I had to pay for the AC. Mm-hmm. So can I write off paying for the AC and can I depreciate the AC with the house?
Well, you cannot write it off.
Okay.
Because you're gonna get double. Okay,
get double?
You know,
okay.
Yeah, you can't do that. Because it's a major improvement on that. So it become anything because you actually make a house looks better, like you improve, okay? Those items, nature maintenance, it's improvement.
Oh, it's improvement.
Yeah, okay. So that basically you to depreciate over time. Okay, so. Don't get confused with fixing house and maintenance, repair and improvement. Okay, they are different thing.
Okay,
so called the maintenance repair, them, but the deductible, they call the tax return. There's the year that you did it. Okay, especially the improvement, improvement. You have to depreciate those items over time.
That includes like the stove.
Yeah, the stove,
the dishwasher.
Yeah.
The AC, the unit.
Sometimes carpet too.
Carpet
as well.
Even the flooring, huh?
Even the flooring, things like that. Even the fans around the house. Okay,
the fans, the windows, right?
Yeah. Window. It depends, and we have to kind of determine to see that, repair. Actually improvement.
So is the roof? Let's say that there was a hailstorm and my roof got all jacked up. And you know what? My insurance, I have really bad insurance. My insurance didn't cover it, right?
Mm-hmm.
This must be some really bad insurance. But and I have to fix the roof out of pocket, right? So does that consider an improvement or a repair?
Well,
one can I choose?
Well, that's the case because it's been damaged, right?
Yeah.
So basically, go repair yourself because basically it has been damaged. Actually, when I talk about the improvement, is that, for example, you have roof right there, but the roof is not looking good, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to replace the whole one. The whole thing.
Okay,
so now you have to look at before, after. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
So before, it wasn't that great. It was a wood shingle, for example, right? That's it. Maybe you want to change to composition same shingle now, okay? So that's an improvement. Okay, that's one thing I also want to tell everybody out there is this. Got a primary residence, they got a rental price different. Then with tax treatment is differently. They don't get confused. Yeah. So a lot of people, you know, that you know, my company and Liberty Tax Service, a lot of time they're thinking that everything is deductible. And the answer to you is no, because you actually live in there. Okay, yeah. Into rental property, like they remember, it become a business now. They are business. They now those things that you actually incur, you expend, they will become deductible. So you have to understand, you know, difference between the two.
Yes.
Okay, you got to between the two. You're going to get confused about it.
I have more questions about that, but let's answer two things. Second question, real quick, about being a real estate agent deductible. You mentioned about being a realtor association, being an association.
Yes.
What other write off can a realtor have? You know, I mean, because it's a business.
As a realtor, I hope you do marketing because that's the one way you get clients. Okay, so of course these are your marketing expenses, so advertising, so that can be deductible. Okay, and we mentioned already mileage. You know, you got to drive around to preview home. You got actually showing property, for buyer, things like that. Or maybe you're meeting with sellers to list the product for sale, things like that. Mm-hmm. So those can be deductible. And then, you know, if you actually buy things that, you know, relate to your that base part of your business, then again, the key is this. The rule of thumb, it has to be direct related to your business, okay? You have to ensure directly related, then you cannot deduct it.
You know, I get to say this because I'm not a tax person. So disclaimer, this is not, this, what about, and I look at it this way: if you're self-employed and you're gonna owe some, you're gonna owe some tax. To me, I would rather put it back in my business than pay Uncle Sam. You know, so just to touch up on what two ask about that question.
Sure.
So, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, we always want our business to thrive, right? You know, hopefully every year it's become better, better. And every time, God, actually, got to back, you know, your capital back into your business, you know, look at it as an investment. Because that's the only way that Galu business can grow, nah? You know, I know there's a lot of people that want to keep, low budget, marketing low budget. This is my more marketing, right? How you're going to be able to attract new clients, you know, new customer coming to your business, things like that. I would suggest that it would be a good idea as well. Of course, make sure you budget properly and have some kind of planning. Don't just put everything into one thing, okay? Make sure that, you know, whatever works for you. Because, you know, over the year and, you know, my personal experience, again, I've been doing tech for 20 years, and sometimes there's some marketing strategy that I used in the past didn't work. But I spend a lot of money on it.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have to kind of, as a business owner, you have to really determine what works and what's not working for you. Because sometimes market strategy, one might be working for you good, one may not. So don't waste your money on things that doesn't work.
Okay? All right, Gonu, we're going to get to your question right now. Gonu is asking, if you have a few ag zone acre of farmland and have started developing it with fence, water well, etc., can you still claim those deductions?
Well, first of all, okay, is the land being rented? See?
Yeah.
So you gotta look at that, okay, or is it just you just improve for yourself? You know, maybe you do your own farming yourself, and because the well may not be working, and then so what's gonna happen is that you have some outcome and drill the well, a new one for you, okay? Again, I mentioned it cannot be deductible, but it can be added to the basis of the property when you bought it. So it may be just keep all this receipt, because whoever you goes to, and you know, tax professional, if they have the expertise in this kind of field, then they'll probably be asking question, okay? If you tell them that, well, you know what, you know, 2 years ago, we actually, our well wasn't working, and we hired somebody to come and drill a new well for cost us $20,000. Those are not cheap, folks. Those are expensive, okay? So what happened, you know, that could be added to your basis of your house, your land. Mm. Okay. And then what's going to happen is that in the future, when you sell it, you know, your basis is going to go up higher, then basically your capital gain will be less, you see? Because, you know, as a tax professional like myself, when I do taxes, you know, when people sell business property, I always asking what is the, how much you bought it for. Okay, what's the basis? Basis is the how much you bought it for. Plus sales tax, things like that, right? I determine the basis. And then how much you're selling for. You see? Those are two of the numbers that I have to ask you. And you have to be able to tell me what it is. You got care guna, then what I can do is that I will be able to do the math, right? And the system can do the math for me. So I hope I answered the question.
Yeah, I hope that answers your question. But there's a lot. I mean, we'll touch on it during the break. But yeah, I mean, this is thanks for asking the question, guys. It makes the show a little more dynamic, so it's not just me and David bouncing back and forth. You know, I brought this up a lot because like a lot of people have questions, especially you know, especially people that are. It seems like real estate is the latest trend. You know, everybody wants to go into real estate investment, and that has to do with money, guys. I mean, it's money. It's kind of like you know, in order to make more money, you got to put more money into your business. So, but we are going to go on a short break again, and on our break we'll be on Facebook Live. But when we come back, we'll wrap things up. And if you guys have any more questions, you could ask us or you could phone in at 559-499-1600. Again, you are listening to Multicultural 1600 AM. You can listen to us on multicultural1600am.com.
California, California, luôn gấu là rong gấu, luôn đâu là rong đâu.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back to Multicultural 1600 AM. You are listening to the Hmong American Hour. This is Financial Friday with your host, Va Her. My special guest today is David Fang. He's a franchise owner of Liberty Tax, and he's a real estate broker too. He is a man of many skills and talents. I call it, he's a master of many, all right? So a lot of you talk about, I don't believe in the jack of all trade, master of none. I think that there are people that are master of many. And I am very fortunate to know David, to have David as a friend, because he is a master of many. And so we are talking about money, we're talking about real estate, we're talking about taxes. Just a quick recap about what we talk about today. You know, we started with your basic tax status, you know, filing status and stuff like that. And then we went right into the meat of it. And a lot of you and a few of you guys asked questions too. But I want to touch base with David on like the flipper, right? So I have a scenario where let's say last year I flipped five houses, right? Mm-hmm. And I spent I spent $50,000 total on expense, fixing and stuff like that, and I made a profit of $100,000, right?
Yeah.
Back.
Yeah.
Okay. But on my sales, there's also gross revenue, right?
True.
So what do I pay taxes on? So I've spent $50,000, and let's say that my gross revenue is $100,000, and that makes my profit $50,000 too. How does, just that basic scenario, how does that taxes work on that?
Well, first of all, we need to kind of determine what, you know, as a real estate investor, okay, are you investing as a LLC, as an entity?
So I'm a sole
proprietor. Investing as a sole proprietorship?
Yeah, sole proprietor. Okay. Yeah, let's start with sole
proprietor. So if that's the case, then basically we have to look at, you know, you mentioned you do five, all right?
Yeah, I do
But remember, each one, it has a cost because how much you bought for each one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and let me tell you this, I think you have five. You probably could spend more than $50,000 to fix it. Okay,
yeah, yeah.
I guarantee you that right now.
I'm just giving it a hypothetical.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I didn't do five. I just give you the hypothetical.
No. Yeah. What I'm saying, I'm not saying that. I'm saying the expense is probably going to be more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Probably one. You're probably going to spend close to $50,000 already. Just telling you.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
So pretty much five times five. You know, $50,000. That's about what? $250,000.
That's about quarter million.
You might be spending about quarter million expenses, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So that means again, you come back to whatever that you actually spent to fix your property, okay? Because remember, there's three numbers we're looking at. Number one, we're looking at how much you bought it for. Number two, we're looking at how much you actually spent to fix it. Number three, how much you sell it for. Okay, this is the three numbers that we're looking for. Because, you know, let's say, you know, you bought it for $100,000, you fix it, cause you have $50,000, the total cost is gonna be what? $150,000, right? Well, you sell it for $200,000. Then, of course, very simple math.
Yeah.
You have a capital gain of $50,000. Quite simple.
All right.
Okay? And then $50,000 is going to go to you because you're sole proprietorship. So what's going to happen? It will go directly to your 1040.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? As an additional income to whatever you are making right now working as a W-2 employees.
Okay.
You see? So let's say you're making $70,000 as W-2 employee and you make $50,000 from real estate investment. Now your income become what? $120,000.
I'm really bad at math.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So basically, of course you're gonna pay taxes, okay? Because your income goes up, additional $50,000.
Okay.
So of course your tax bracket gonna go up because your tax go up, okay? But again, there's other way out there that you could save a little bit of money. By the way, I also a licensed, you know, insurance agent as well. So I guess I could talk about this too.
Yeah. We could both talk about it.
Okay,
insurance.
I could talk about this too.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically, you know, there's a lot of retirement plan out there, and you could also contribute. And what happens, it depends on your filing status, but there's a threshold for that. But, you can always open a retirement account.
Yeah.
You know, pre-tax money, and that could be deductible, and that could be listed on your adjusted gross income of your 1040. And then what happens is that your gross income is going to go down. So basically, hopefully, you're going to pay less taxes because your taxable income is going to go down.
Yeah. So David's,
there's
David's
an auction for that too as
well. Yeah, David is referring to like a solo K, 401k, self-directed 401k where you could use pre-tax money to contribute. I think like the maximum amount now is $18,000 a year, right?
That's one thing, but what I'm talking about is that, you know, depending on your threshold, you know, you could open an IRA account.
Yeah,
IRA account could be deductible as well. The only one that's not deductible is Roth IRA because Roth IRA, it's after tax money, so
you could do like a solo. If you're self proprietary, you could do a solo K and an IRA together.
You can.
Oh, wow.
You can. But what's important is that there's a threshold, okay? Because you know there's a limit on your income. It depends on your filing status because what happened if you file single and you make so much money, what happens is that you cannot deduct anymore because you make too much money. Okay, so Uncle Sam say, hey, stop. Okay, you cannot deduct it anymore because you over income. Mm-hmm. So this is some of the things that we have to look at. You know, so when you come to any tax professional, you know, I'm sure they will understand. You know, kind of guide you that way because you don't want to donate to you want to open an IRA account and you make $250,000 a year. Well, I'm so sorry. You know that whatever you donate, you contribute to your pre-tax money is no longer tax deductible anymore, you see? So that's what I'm saying. So you know, if I were you folks in a community, you know, or the listener right now, I'm telling you, you have a business, it's always nice to go and set a time to talk to a tax professional and give you some tax advice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you're a business owner or self-employed, you're balling, have your business entity, right? Or have a business, right?
Well, you know what? The things that, you know, if you talk about entity, that's another topic. Mm-hmm. We could talk about the future. Yeah. But, you know, like I said, it does, you know, remember, when you're in a business, you're going to make sure know what you're doing. Because every time you open an entity, you actually have another animal to deal with. So be careful because there's more tax implication. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that at a different show. But we are, so one last pros and cons. Okay, so Ka, you asked the pros and cons of renting to own. That's like,
renting to own is good too. You know, it depends on, because rent to own pretty much is designed for those individuals that maybe their credit wasn't that great. And you know, they make good money. However, their credit is not that great and then they can't qualify for a mortgage loan. And then what happened, they're looking for an auction to see any seller out there willing to open to that auction. And if seller open to the auction, then it's not that bad, you know. But what's important is that you got to make sure that they all, you know, every time you do something, folks, you got to have a contract, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, because even rent to own, you got to make sure that you understand the contract that is signed by you and the homeowners. So that you know exactly what you're doing, and the homeowner also knows exactly, you know, what they're doing as well. So that there is no misunderstanding in the future. I do know people that actually do rent to own. And they actually do rent to own. And rent to own, that means that you agree to a price, folks. You agree to a price already, you know, and maybe the owner may require you to pay some kind of, let's say $5,000, for example, for rent to own, for them to go to the auction, all right? So what happens is that, let's say the contract, you say, well, next 2 years, I'm going to buy this property from you, but the price could be fixed at $180, for example, all right? And then, of course, the rent payment you do every month, are those apply to down payments,
How much is that rent going to go towards the down payment?
Exactly, but again, it comes back to the contract.
It's all on a contract.
I mean, if you're that kind of situation and you want to own a home and you want to look into that auction, you know, in this auction out there, one of the problems that we're facing right now is that because the market's kind of low. The rest of the market's hot right now. So many homeowners doesn't like to do that in the moment. And the reason being because, you know what, they're ready to just sell it outright because and get a gain. But again, don't limit to yourself. There's still people out there that may want to do that too. Yeah. Because, you know, if that's what you want to do, just keep searching and I'm sure you will find one.
Yeah, but we could, Kyle, we could talk offline about non-traditional home buying.
Yeah.
So, but we are coming towards the end of our show, everyone. I want to thank everyone for listening or tuning in, and I want to thank all the viewers at Facebook Live. You are listening to Multicultural 1600 AM Financial Friday with your host Vahir. My special guest today is David Fang. David, before we go, can you give a few last words for the listeners?
Well, you know what, folks, I just want to tell you that. Well, first of all, I appreciate Vahir for inviting me today, okay, and be able to ensure, you know, some of the knowledge and some education to everyone. But again, I just want to say that whatever you do, you know, make sure that you know, if you don't know anything, you know, make sure don't limit to yourself that you don't know. There's always people out there that, you know, will help you, and just make sure asking questions, because I'm sure people will step out to help you. And then at the same time, you know, just... make sure you have a plan. You know, I know Vahir talk about taxes, and like I said, make sure you go out there and talk to a tax professional, and make sure you see some advice, you know, so that you become aware. So as you move forward with your business or your life, you be able to walk in the right path instead of kind of when the time comes, you're not quite sure what to do.
Yeah, he didn't say it, but yeah. I'm going to say, yeah. Make sure you call David if you have questions. Because, I mean, he's, I recommend David because, you know, I trust him. He's like he's a mentor to me. He's a brother to me. I trust him. I trust him with my taxes. He knows I'm an open book to him, you know? So, guys, I appreciate all of you tuning in. Next week, I'm going to talk about the stock market next week. So I heard that there is a Hmong guy in Fresno that works with Charles Schwab, and I'm going to look for him. I'm going to try to invite him. But if not, then I'll find another guest, and we're going to talk about stock market. I'm going to recap of what was going on this week, how everyone has been panicking on a down market, and how to make money on a down market. Because if you don't know how to make money on a down market, keep your money in your savings account. You know, that's just, you know, my thing on that. So sure. Thank you for listening to Multicultural 1600 AM. You can find us on multicultural1600am.com, on Facebook at Multicultural 1600 AM. You are listening to the Hmong American Hour. I'm your host, Vahir, Financial Friday. I'm leaving you off with my special guest, David Fang with Liberty Tax. And I will see you guys next week.
This was a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM.